fighting for America.
Republicans should stop holding our Homeland Security hostage.
The president needs to listen to the American people and say, yes, let's build the Keystone Pipeline.
Fighting for Idaho.
What we are teaching young people right now is if you love someone, beat the heck out of them. If you love someone, choke them, whip them, torture them.
Fighting for you.
Brian Williams. It's almost as if the libs are reluctantly carrying the water on this story.
Well, what are you talking about? He cured cancer and landed on the moon.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
How can you criticize somebody that did these things?
Right.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kevin. I was just sitting here looking at more exaggerations from Brian Williams, the story that keeps going on and on. You know, I figure he's got the perfect job given his creative deception. He should become the new White House spokesperson. What do you think?
Well, between that and that BuzzFeed video, man.
It's either that or he goes back to Paducah and starts doing the weather forecast early mornings.
Well, as someone who has lived in this field for many, many years, and has so much experience dealing with people both sides of the microphone, Bob, what do you make of Brian Williams there?
You know, I think you get to power corrupts absolutely. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. I think over a period of time, whether you're a media figure or whether you're a politician, you begin to play fast and loose with the rules because you're just surrounded by sycophants and you have nothing but affirmation. You're compelled with ratings and. You know, it's like the king is wearing no clothes. Nobody ever gives you the negative feedback. Hey, Brian, maybe scale it back, huh? Let's get a little more factual. Could have used a little bit more of that, I think, through the end of the career.
Well, they were talking about that apparently that Tim Russert and Tom Brokaw had a all-in approach and they would allow people. And, of course, allowing criticism or critiques is certainly not – you know, like an air check you're going to get. You're only going to go so far, but you were either in Brian's camp or you weren't in this case.
Yeah. This is one of the reasons that I, you know, personally prefer, just love talk radio, because it is not an agenda setting. It does not have an agenda. It simply has as its core function, that is talk radio, the representation of Americans whose voices have been disenfranchised. And, you know, just I don't think we see that issue ever more compelling than in talk radio. I mean, and immigration, for example, getting our borders secured, our laws enforced, and our immigration policy serving a broad national interest. That would be impossible without talk radio and the listeners you represent. I mean, the deck is stacked on the other side by the mainstream media, by the NBCs and the Brian Williams, Wall Street, the Chamber of Commerce, the churches, the schools, the unions even, all of the Democratic Party, which, by the way, Kevin, you know, the Democrat Party, through most of the last century, used to protect American workers from massive foreign labor. And then you've got a large block of the GOP leadership. I mean, you know, you throw in the huge money from the from Matt Zuckerberg and George Soros and the Ford Foundation, and the odds are overwhelming on a lot of these issues that we're all concerned about that the nightly newscast aren't concerned about, except for one thing. Guess what? We have the majority of the public on our side, and those folks are the people who listen to you every day. I mean, you and we, all of us, we're the last line of defense between the rule of law and complete lawlessness, at least on immigration.
Well, Bob, that's why we love your group. It scares me when I hear that even though the majority of the folks, the overwhelming majority of the folks want, no amnesty, want to make sure that American jobs, American sovereignty is protected, you still have, you know, what to expect from the Democrats, but Republicans still trying to make an immigration deal.
Yeah, they are. Several weeks ago, the House of Republicans passed the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security Appropriations Bill. They fully funded that department, but they included language that says the president cannot use any of that money within DHS to carry out an amnesty plan. Congress said DHS is about protecting the homeland. It is not an amnesty factory for illegal aliens, and they were right. So now that bill is in the Senate. Now, if they pass it, DHS gets the money they need, amnesty is stopped, and the bill is what we call clean. Unfortunately, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is worried that Obama is going to veto it. Well, yeah, the president will veto it, but it will be his fault if DHS doesn't get his funding, not the Republicans.
Although, Bob, and you know this, the press is going to go, those Republicans, they didn't fund DHS. And then you're going to have the weenie Republicans afraid that the press isn't going to like them.
You are correct. First, let's remember, the Republicans passed the budget for the federal government back in December when they had an opportunity to stop amnesty. At the same time, they said, hey, just be patient. We will deal with this executive action in January on the DHS bill. They made us a promise, and we expect them to do it. And the other thing to remember is a clean DHS bill is when amnesty is stripped out and stopped. These are very real national security risks involved when the government is going to be forced to process tens of thousands of illegal alien amnesty applications every week, every day, every hour, without having time to do adequate background checks, you know, just for starters. That issue is relevant to the mission of DHS. So the defunding language enhances our national security. Again, you know, I think Obama has a choice, amnesty or national security. That's the bottom line. I am hearing more and more Republicans beginning to understand how to properly message on this so that Americans understand what they're trying to do and how they're trying to protect them.
Well, what gets me is the code word for Republicans that, you know, we want immigration reform, we need guest workers, which is BS. We can't employ the people that we have here.
Right.
And, you know, they try and, you know, use the lack of critical thinking skills with the American public by saying, well, we need immigration reform, it's fair and all this. And I'm thinking to myself, no, it isn't. You and Senator Sessions appear to be the only ones that understand, hey, the more people we bring in, especially with the low-paying jobs, the less Americans are going to be working.
The new Republican Senate and Congress, well, the new Congress has a disturbing number of older Republicans who refuse to really articulate what immigration is all about. You've got a lot of new Republican congressmen and senators who really haven't dealt with the issue. Look, at this point in life, if you're still standing in the middle of the road on this immigration issue, you're going to get run over by voters because the voters want clarity and they want strong, principled positions. And that means no amnesty and more secure borders. And you know, one principle that the Republicans, Walker, for example, has yet to articulate is that immigration is designed to serve our broad national interest, not special interest. That's been the core foundation of what our organization for 36 years has always been about. You've got to have an overarching principle before you develop a position. And that takes courage for a lot of the Republicans, I know, because they're going to have to turn their back on the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the Wall Street businesses that pad their pocket. And they're going to have to commit to the needs of the American workers and taxpayers first. But you know what? You might be richly rewarded at the polls if you do that. It's called backbone. It's called principle. It's called standing up high and being able to look at yourself in the mirror and saying, hey, maybe some of these special interest groups are going to skewer me, but I've got plenty of voters out there who respect my positions.
Bob Dane joining us here. Kevin Miller in the morning. Bob from Federation for American Immigration Reform, FAIR. Let's take a look at two groups that shock me, the chamber and the unions. You would think that the unions wanted to be alive, relevant, and vibrant. They'd come to the defense of the American worker instead of selling them out. And then you have business leaders, business owners saying, hey, we want the cheap labor.
Yeah, the unions, you know, for most of the last century, Democrats and unions and unionized labor, old line union workers, steel workers and mill workers and so forth, were adamantly opposed to massive increases in immigration because they understood that there was a scarcity of jobs that should be morally and ethically reserved for U.S. residents. And they understood that the massive importation of low-skilled labor would degrade wages. So that, you know, you can call that protectionism, you can call it some degree of restriction to foreign labor, but that worked through the better part of the last century, and it created a vibrant middle class. And by the way, that vibrant middle class is really the bedrock of your democracy. If you don't have it, you're in trouble. And what we're now seeing is increasing income inequality at the top and the bottom. The middle is disappearing. Much of that has to do with immigration. By the way, a couple of minutes ago, you alluded to the fact that we have more demand for jobs than we actually do have jobs. Look, we need 150,000 jobs each month just to keep up with new immigrants coming into the jobs market.
Bob Dane joining us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Another issue that we've been hitting is, believe it or not, that if you're an illegal alien, you could get retroactive tax benefits even if you didn't pay taxes.
Yeah, illegal aliens get to file for tax deductions. There's a variety of them, the earned income tax credit, the additional child tax credits. In a way, given the cost of illegal immigration over the last 30 years, I think we should be able to claim them as dependents. But look, this is exactly what we said would happen. Giving amnesty to millions of illegal aliens are draining us dry. Because you've got the additional cost of extending federal, state, and local benefits to millions of illegal aliens whose new lawful presence, because of Obama's waving of his magic wand, makes them eligible for even more benefits, including tax refunds. Most of these aliens are low-skilled. They are heavily government-dependent. So, of course, they take every possible tax benefit that's possible. Now, this is an interesting dilemma. Because the IRS has encouraged illegal aliens for 20 years now to apply for what is called an ITIN, an individual tax identification number, so that illegal aliens could pay their taxes. An illegal alien can't get a social number, but they can get the ITIN. So the IRS really pushed these. There's about 14 million of them now, used almost exclusively by illegal aliens. The IRS loves it, because they don't really give a hoot about anybody's legal status. They just want their money. As a matter of fact, the IRS commissioner said 2 years ago, if somebody is working without authorization in this country, they're not absolved of tax liability. We want your money whether you're here legally or not and whether you earned it legally or not, close quote. So, the question here is, so if the IRS wants them to pay taxes like everybody else, do we have an obligation to them to give them refunds retroactively, just like you and I can apply for?
Exactly. And then I love the Attorney General going, or the Attorney General nominee, well, you don't really have to be a legal citizen. You don't have to be a legal resident. Doesn't really matter if you're an American. Everybody here has a right to work. Everybody should work.
Well, my personal opinion is, let's not get soft-headed here. Just because some illegal aliens did file taxes, given that they were residing in the U.S. illegally, working illegally, frankly, I consider the taxes they paid rent or a partial down payment on the enormous cost that they've had on the U.S., and I would certainly take off any retroactive tax benefit right off the table. I'm not sure that argument is going to pass the legal test.
Now, let me hit you with this, Bob Dane. Now we're hearing that, published reports coming out that not only are they going to be able to get tax benefits, but with the alleged temporary amnesty, that we could see the illegals voting. And you and I both know that's been going on for years, regardless of the amnesty proposal from the president.
Yeah, that is certainly an inevitability that they will begin voting. Which is not surprising, because if you think about it, ultimately that's what this massive flow of immigration and massive amnesty is all about. Of course we're going to have illegal alien voter fraud. I mean, from the Democrats' perspective, the whole purpose of increasing immigration, giving amnesty, is to expand their voting base. It's not about compassion and humanitarian concerns. Obama, Schumer, and Pelosi, and Gutierrez, they can see that the last four presidential elections were decided by pretty thin margins, 4.5 million voters. So looking ahead, between now and about 2036, we're going to add 15 million new voters, immigrants, from the current level of immigration. These folks are mostly poor, heavily government-dependent. They're predisposed to vote for the party of big government. Then add on top of that 5 million illegal aliens who are going to be given amnesty. and allowed to bring in their relatives. So the calculus here, Kevin, is that there is a mathematical certainty that unless immigration is reined in, it's the end of the two-party system in America. And that's a serious issue, because any country that has only one party is one step from tyranny. Our Constitution affords checks and balances, but so too does having two-party systems. And without it, we're in real trouble.
Bob, let me hit you with this. That it amazes me that you still have folks in the Republican establishment that listen to the Democrats saying, well, if you want to be in the presidential election, you got to do something about the illegals. And I'm going, you're just in, they don't have your best interest at heart. I mean, just the preservation of the two-party system, as you said, they've got to do something about it. But whether it's the intimidation, whether it's the press, whether it's the Democrats, the Republicans seem to willow away and again, try and pull the Neville Chamberlain.
Yeah, it's amazing. On any given day, you can see Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid or Luis Gutierrez putting on the hat of the Republican strategist, giving the Republicans all of the advice about how to revitalize their party. You need to be careful about who you take advice from. Look, Republicans need to do two things on immigration, at least. First, they need to stop Obama's unconstitutional amnesty. Now, even if some of them might see merit in a limited amnesty, it's got to be done by legislation, not executive fiat. And secondly, and I think before the Republicans do anything more on immigration, again, they need to articulate a policy agenda that has as its centerpiece the idea that immigration is supposed to serve our broad national interests, not special interests. And if they insist on using immigration to serve their political interest, they better understand that amnesty and huge increases in legal immigration is diluting their party as surely as it is helping the Democrats. And the Democrats seem to know that, and the Republicans seem to be clueless.
You know, going old school, you remember our friend Bob Novak, he'd always, smack them with satire and crossfire, going, yes, Congressman, I'm sure we're going to take advice from you. You know, it was just brilliant. I wish we had a statesman like that around.
You know, I think the GOP could probably do a better job of just selling core values, freedom and liberty and small government, low taxes, opportunity and prosperity. It was the old Rutherford B. Hayes. He said, he serves his party best who serves his country best. You know, both parties are consumed with what's best for the party as opposed to what's best for the country. Are we going to see the emergence of a third party? I don't know, but I know that there's a lot of core conservatives, Tea Party conservatives, who voted enthusiastically back in November for a change, a variety of changes, and fast changes. None of them appear to be on.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Don't forget to go to 580KIDO.com. Watch the video that people are blowing up about the president laughing at everybody about the health exchange costs and such. Bob Dane, have you seen that video yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, it's the president shooting hoops and having a great time. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, doing the selfies on the stick.
Yeah. As someone who is worked with the highest levels of government, is that presidential?
I know we're moving along here with generations of millennials and new forms of technology, but can you imagine Harry Truman doing selfies?
Wow. Lyndon Baines Johnson. Bob Dane with us.
Well, he did a selfie.
Go ahead.
Well, there was that famous Lyndon Baines Johnson picture. When I think of selfies, he was picking up the dog by the ears. What was the name of the dog?
Oof. Well, it wasn't Checkers, that's for sure.
No.
Bob Dane with us, Communications Director, Federation for American Immigration Reform, as we continue on here. Let's get to some other solutions. What about possible lawsuits?
Yeah, lawsuits is an entirely different track. There are options afoot. If Obama will not respect Congress, and again, Congress is trying to strip away some of the money he will use for amnesty, The president may well have to respect the courts. In addition to that budgetary pressure, lawsuits are emerging. You've got 25 states that have joined a class action lawsuit against the president, and their claim is that they have standing and that they would be harmed at the state level because it's the states that are on the hook for the cost of education and health care and other public benefits and law enforcement when illegal immigration continues, which it would in the aftermath of the amnesty. The states claim that it's axiomatic. Well, they're right. Amnesty just fuels the incentive for more and more illegal immigration. Right now, I mean, nationally, the cost of illegal immigration in the United States is $118 billion. $88 million of that is paid for by the states. So I think the states are right. I think history is on their side. That case is now in a federal court in Brownsville, Texas. We could see a ruling on that. Today, tomorrow, next week, it wouldn't surprise me at all. You could also see the House of Representatives file a lawsuit. Didn't think that would happen a month ago. Boehner seems to have tipped his hand on this recently. The House would make a case. Their case would be under the constitutional authority to regulate immigration. That's been stripped away. And I think they'd be on solid footing under Article 1. Of the Constitution, which says that Congress, not the president, gets to establish a uniform rule of law. And I think the House could probably also legitimately claim that Obama violated the Take Care Clause of the U.S. Constitution that limits the scope of the presidential power. These things have to be done quickly because illegal aliens are already beginning to line up for the amnesty application process, which will be underway in a few short weeks. And the government has already staffed up a veritable amnesty processing center here in the Arlington, Virginia area, the Washington, D.C. suburbs. And once that happens, it's going to be very—I think it's going to be very hard to put the ketchup back in the bottle.
Bob Dane, if people want to get involved and help, what can they do?
Well, they follow us on Twitter at Fair Immigration. Go to the Federation for American Immigration Facebook page. Great stuff up there. Or just go to FairUS.org, get involved and make a difference.
Bob, take care. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, Kevin.
Our great friend Bob Dane with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller with you here. Time for the Manly Man section with our great friend Dave Burnett. Dave, good to have you with us.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Oh, good to have you with us. So how was your weekend?
Not a bad weekend. Weather's nice. Did a little work out in the yard on Saturday. So did that. Took the lovely Mrs. Burnett out to dinner on Valentine's evening. So it's a good day.
Well, Thanksgiving, Valentine's, it's all the same. I hate that when you're trying to get back into the rhythm. I mean, they should just call it Thanks Valentine's Day or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was thankful for Valentine's Day.
So was it? I'm sure it was very busy wherever you went.
We went to the Kona Grill there in the village at Meridian. Mm-hmm. Unsolicited advertisement. I guess so. It was busy.
The Kona Grill. Mm-hmm. The village, yeah, I imagine it would be. So we've got that going on over the weekend, some things with ISIS, looks like the gas tax. You have you look at the legislature, they're going to introduce that this week, possibly raising the gas tax. You're looking at 8 cents for unleaded and 12 cents for diesel.
Yeah, like diesel's not enough already. Yeah, I guess, you know, and the price of gas going up, I don't know if you noticed that on your way in.
I buy the stuff that's more expensive anyway, the real gas. So mm-hmm. it's always been about $2 a gallon, anyway, $2.20.
Yeah, you're paying $2.01. You know, anywhere from $1.99 to $2.01, $2.05 now.
Right.
So it's over $2.
Hmm. So we have that going on. So I mean, what are your thoughts about raising the gas tax here?
Well, you know, the problem is there's lots of money set aside for highways, but I'm not sure it's all being spent on highways.
Right.
Especially on the federal level, I know.
Right.
So here's an idea. How about spending the money on what you say it's going to go for in the first place?
Yeah, that's easier said than done. And we take a look at our own state government. I mean, do you believe that the state of Idaho is a well-run entity?
I think it's leaner than some. Could it do some reexamination? Yeah, I think it could. I think it could. I mean, I know around the Burnett household, I don't know about the Millers, but we are continually reexamining the budget. And where can it be trimmed? Where can it be slimmed down?
Sure.
You know, I don't know too many areas where it's, let's get fatter. It just doesn't happen.
Well, the reason why I ask is, isn't it this week? Or if it isn't this week, I think it's next week at the latest where the internet for the schools, like the cable bill or the cell phone
five
for
days.
Us.
They got 5 days.
Is going to be shut off. And, you know, just like when you don't pay the phone bill, you get that gets shut off. We could be losing the internet on the state schools and some state agencies. And here's the thing that gets me is that apparently now only 1,500 to 1,800 kids use the Wi-Fi or the internet mm-hmm. to begin with.
Yeah.
And I can remember covering this thing since it began, the idea that it went to an out-of-state agency, then that deal was ruled, I guess, illegal. So we didn't pay the people. Now they're ready to cut this off. Very confusing. And, you know, is it getting enough attention? One could argue.
Well, you know, there's been so much about it. They wanted to use it to beat Tom Luna over the head with, and then it wasn't good, and now it's going to be cut off. No, the kids aren't using it. I don't know. I mean, to me, you got to weed all the politics out to see what the truth is. Because there's a lot of politics woven into the internet for the school story. A lot of politics.
What do you mean?
Did I stutter when I said that?
Well, expand on it.
Well, there just is. There are those who were the teachers union that was against Tom Luna. So no matter what Tom Luna did, it was bad. It was evil. And did he, you know, did he?
He made a mistake because the judge said it was illegal, invalid, mm-hmm. and now they haven't paid the bill. So politics aside, in my opinion, somebody needs to pay for this discrepancy. Somebody should be held accountable, just like somebody in Nampa wasn't held accountable for the $5 million over budgeting that they did. Nobody went to jail for that.
A couple of people lost their job or stepped down from their jobs, but yeah.
I mean, you make a mistake. I make a mistake. Sometimes good people, and whatever you do, mm-hmm. they don't make mistakes, and they go anyway. Look at how many people lost their jobs in the cafeteria because it went, privatization, private contractor. The custodians lost their union deal, went private contractor. And a lot of people think that this is a good deal, but these people didn't do anything wrong. And now a lot of them have lost their jobs or have moved on. No fault of their own. And then you have these people that mismangle not 50 grand, 100 grand, but millions of dollars that aren't punished.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens in business. People, things get redone, you know, and unfortunately running a school is a business as well. That's why an administrator has to administrate. I mean, things are different here than they were 10 years ago.
Sure. But you get back to the difference between this place and the schools and everything else, we're not supported by the taxpayers.
Exactly. So in my mind, it really needs to come under scrutiny.
Right. So back to the internet deal. I mean, was it incompetency? Was it complicity? Was it insider deals? I mean, these are the allegations that people are making. And those are serious allegations mm-hmm. when you think about it. But, I mean, how in the world can you explain yourself in a state that I guess just got broadband? It's about ready to get the boot because you can't pay for it or you won't pay for it.
Yeah.
Was it like $60 million?
It was a big chunk of change.
Yeah.
For 1,800 kids to use it.
Right.
1,200 or whatever it is. That's a big chunk of change.
Right.
So, you know, you get those kids private cricket cards to be cheaper.
Right.
So I don't know. You know, I mean,
cricket cards.
It affects us. In that when we go to the school, sometimes we use the broadband for broadcasting.
It does.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I do some of the sports stuff I do, we use, you know, the public internet to get some of the information out.
Well, that might be going away.
Could be gone this weekend. See ya. 5 days. I got to get it fixed. I think by Friday is the deadline.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, and again, I say, you know, there's a lot of politics and there's some mismanagement involved here. You got to sift it out, figure out what's going on, and see whether there's anything that was done illegally. And if it was, as you said, who's held accountable?
Well, that's the thing. And like you said, everybody at 580KIDO, people hold Tom Luna accountable. But I think he picked the contract, didn't he? And if he didn't, whoever did, and, you know, the controversy with going, with an out-of-state firm.
Yeah, see, I don't know if he picked it or if it was picked by the State Board of Education. Or if he picked it, how did the State Board of Education not know?
Right.
And these are questions I don't have answers for. I don't know.
Well, so you have that going on. On another note, this is one of my favorite clips. We were playing this on Friday. Are you a big fan of the vice president at all?
Who's the vice president?
Joe Biden.
Oh, Jumpin' Joe?
Yeah.
What'd Jumpin' Joe say?
And Neil Smith, an old buddy. Are you here, Neil? Neil, I miss you, man. I miss you.
Can you say that on the radio?
Apparently the vice president has done it, so it's okay to say that on the radio.
There's no doubt about what he said. Is there? Is there doubt about what he said?
What, his butt buddy?
What is he saying he said?
He said his butt buddy.
He admits to saying that? He doesn't say it was something else?
He said his butt buddy.
Does he say he was saying anything else, though?
Neil Smith, an old butt buddy. Are you here, Neil? Neil, I miss you, man.
He misses his butt buddy.
I miss you.
I don't say that about anybody.
Not sorry. In the world of expanded rights for everybody.
I don't say that about anybody.
I think people have used to jokingly said that, you know, 10, 20 years ago, probably 10 years ago.
Goodness. That's very dignified.
Well, I mean, how appropriate is that?
Not at all. For an elected official to the second highest position in the country?
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Nope. So we have that at 580KIDO. Other news that we'll be talking about. The Egyptians, 27 Egyptians, Christians killed. The White House yesterday saying, well, they were Egyptian citizens. Apparently there's a blind eye to the war on Christians, and you have to really wonder just how committed the president is to the fight against ISIS, considering that he wants this War Powers Act, which he already has the powers already underlined with what President Bush did when he went to Congress. So basically, the president seems to be wanting to run out the clock against ISIS.
Yeah, and now they're talking that out of the State Department that they feel that the reason people are joining ISIS is financial. It's because of poverty.
Well, wait a minute. How could it be poverty in this country because the economy has recovered?
Well, it's poverty. That's the deal. And so I don't know if we're talking about welfare for members of ISIS, but our government, now, meanwhile, Egypt, Jordan, other countries in the area see it as what it is, and that is there's a religious war underway. Our government refuses to see that or acknowledge that.
Now, wait a minute. Remember when the president was elected, he wanted to lead from behind, remember? He wanted other people to take the lead, so I suppose this is the fruition of his dream.
Well, I know that when a Jordanian pilot is killed, burnt alive, Jordan retaliated by bombing ISIS. When 20 Egyptians are killed, Egypt retaliated by bombing ISIS. When Americans have their heads lopped off, our president shakes his head, says that's bad.
Well, and if you saw that on the 580KIDO.com, we had a video of the president acting cool and selling health care. The same day Katie Mueller was killed. He was out there doing a video for BuzzFeed. You've seen the video, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about how dignified you have Joe Biden and his butt buddy. You have the president just kind of goofing off. I mean, I think he's the only guy missing from the Saturday Night Live 40-year anniversary was the president of the United States. But, I mean, how dignified is that where he's shooting hoops and looking at himself in the mirror and taking selfies and with the GoPro and everything?
I really, by the way, tried to like that Saturday Night Live special. I couldn't do it.
Well, look, it is NBC has to justify Saturday Night Live. So let's say there was a show like 24 on NBC. They probably wouldn't get as much love or attention, even though they had better buzz, they did more, better numbers. And then you have Saturday Night Live that is the pet project of Lorne Michaels. Heck, look, he had Jimmy Fish-Faced Fallon and that other guy, Seth Goofy, you know, put into powerful positions where one's late night and one's later night or whatever. And you think about this, and, you know, it was just an homage to Lorne Michaels. I mean, when's the last time Saturday Night Live was relevant that didn't involve mocking Sarah Palin?
Mid-90s. Sarah joined in the mockery for
yeah.
the special.
See, I tuned in just kind of for the nostalgia, and you see the opening, and they have Melissa McCarthy, who? They have Tom Hanks, okay. Steve Martin, obviously, but where was Bill Murray? Where was Dan Aykroyd on the opening? I mean, Alec Baldwin? Alex, yeah. Alec, whatever? Paul Simon, Paul McCartney?
Which, by the way, Paul McCartney's voice is shot. That's when I turned it off.
By the way, here's another one. They can have Kanye the Creep on, mm-hmm. but not Dennis Miller?
Yeah.
Oh, where was
Dennis Miller?
Well, he's a conservative, sorry.
He wasn't even anywhere there. I don't know if he chose not to participate or if he wasn't invited.
Gotta believe that he chose not to be invited. Here's another one. NBC's Today Show devotes 10 times more coverage to SNL 40 than the ISIS Christian beheadings.
And then you toss in the week of 50 Shades of Grey, and they didn't even talk about it.
Well, no, if you start smacking 50 Shades of Grey, then you're anti-woman. And, you know, I have a great friend of mine, I know we have to go here, who, you know, was defending 50 Shades of Grey, and she defended it on TV and defended the movie, and I'm thinking, if this is what you've told me what it's about, because obviously you know more about this than I do, how can you defend someone getting beat up?
I don't know. I deemed it
especially,
as abuse.
Especially in lieu of Ray Rice and everything else?
Yeah. I guess Ray Rice was acting out 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Rice.
Traffic now, Kevin, as you come.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
558, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll take a look at the American sniper fallout. Also, apparently there's a war on Muslims, according to a relative of one of the victims of that shooting in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And we'll take a look at whether or not Idaho is ready for concealed constitutional carry. Time for traffic. 559, keep it here to 580 KIDO, your home for Fox News on the radio.